Hebrews chapter 11. And may I say, I kind of feel like this is the end of things for now. And I say that because, you know, faith is such a huge topic. Over 200 verses in our scriptures talk about faith. And let me say something. That's just in the New Testament. And so that's amazing. You know, the word faith is not mentioned at all in the Old Testament. Isn't that weird? Just kind of one of those things. Something about faith we need to understand, and we're going to continue tonight. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, Hebrews chapter 11, just these first 10 verses. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was found not, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I hope you remember, because I don't want to spend too much time in introduction, going over the first two elements of faith that we talked about. The first was believing faith, and then the second was saving faith. Let me just give you a bit of a reminder that faith is simply belief. And we understood that more deeply. It was the assent of the mind to truth, of what is declared by another, resting on their authority and veracity without other evidence. Okay? So that was the kicker right there. That we just believe because of the authority of the one who is giving the information. And that's how we need to be as Christians. In Mark chapter 9, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And we just read in our text that without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So there's this thing of believing faith. And that's a thing that we, if you will, we all have. But we've got to come to the place where we just simply say, I believe God. Okay? Not so much, I believe in God, or I believe there is a God. No, I believe God. Okay? We must believe that he is. And I don't want to go through and re-preach three Sunday mornings worth of messages on I am that I am. Okay? So you understand that that's believing faith. And then we have saving faith. And just a few passages of scripture to remind us of this here. In Ephesians 2, 9 through 10, the Bible told us, for by grace are ye saved through faith. Okay? So you understand that faith is not only just believing faith, that we believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, but also that he saves us through faith. In 2 Timothy 3, Paul said, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So we understand these things, and we've talked about these things, of believing faith and saving faith. Once again, this is without need of any other evidence. God's authority, God's word is enough. And because we have faith, we need to believe. And of course, we need to be saved through that faith. And then we need to grow that faith. Okay, now, think about this way. As you look through the text that we read and you see some things in here about faith, you understand that faith is not supposed to be a static thing. All right? So, you know, God has given every human being faith. Did you know that? We all have faith. Now, where is that faith placed is a different story. But everybody has enough faith. Everyone has enough faith to believe in God. And to believe there is a God, and believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek it. That is not exclusive to any particular group of people. Anybody can know God. Do you believe that? Okay? Yeah. Otherwise, God would be kind of some kind of a sick being, wouldn't He? Only allowing some and not allowing some others? Last I checked, it was a whosoever will salvation. Even in the Old Testament, the people of Israel were supposed to be a what? A testimony, a template. They're supposed to show other nations how to live with God as their king. And what was God's purpose? What did God want? God wanted them to go into an area, to be there, and to show these other nations so that these other nations said, hey, we want to be like you. Now, did Israel do a good job of that? No. But did God exclude anybody in particular? No. They all could come to know God. So you see that we all have this faith. So why did Jesus then, as He's talking to disciples, He said, where's your faith? Oh, ye have little faith. Or in some cases, He even said, hey, you have no faith. How's that possible? He's questioning them. And then He looked at some people as He met them and He said, you have great faith. So why would He put indicators on this thing of faith if your faith couldn't grow? If your faith couldn't mature? If you say, well, you know what? I have all the faith that God wants me to have. That's what He gave me. And that's enough. That's not how faith works. We all have faith. Hey, let me just give you this little neat little illustration. Hey, we all have these things called muscles. We're all given muscles at birth, aren't we? Can I tell you something? Some of our muscles are bigger than others. Is that because God gave us more muscle than somebody else? No. Come on, Nick. This, you say, this is so elementary. This is dumb. It may be dumb and elementary, but it's true. If you... there he is, back there. My son, I'm going to embarrass him a little bit. He wants his muscles to grow. I think most teenage boys are that away. You going to hide under the desk back there, son? Just about. You can't fit under that desk, I don't think. Huh? We have to do what? Yeah. Got to exercise. We got to exercise those muscles so that they can grow. We're all given muscles. Some have lots of muscles. Some don't have very many, if you will, such and so forth. But why? It's because people had done things to strengthen, build, exercise, develop their muscles. You know, a baby isn't born a bodybuilder. They're not. If you want to be a bodybuilder, you've got to do what? Build it. Okay? I mean, that's part of the process. So, do you understand what I'm talking about? So when we say we need to have growing faith or maturing faith, we need to exercise our faith. So how do we go about exercising our faith? Well, some of these elements are shown to us here in the text. You understand that God wants us to grow in our faith. In verse 3, he says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. So we said, okay, all these things exist. And how is it that we grow in that faith and we exercise that faith? Look what he says. It says about Abel. He offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness which he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. So how did Abel exercise his faith? Why was he better than Cain? Because of his righteousness. You know how we exercise our faith? We just say, God says, hey, I want you to do this, and I want you to do it this way. And we just say, okay, God, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do it this way. You know what happens? Your faith grows. You think God was going to punish Abel and reward Cain? No. That would be backwards. We just sang the song, which confuses people sometimes, especially good people, if you will. Why are the wicked prospering? And we're not. I'm serving God by faith, and I'm not prospering like these heathen are. Hey, can I tell you something, folks? Don't put yourself in that circumstance. You'll actually weaken your faith. Why don't you just believe God? God said the wicked will perish. They will be judged. Listen to me. If sin and the wicked world and all this, if it had no pleasure to it, nobody would be a part of it. If it had no earthly profit to it, nobody would do it. Everybody would be a Christian. You understand how that works, right? So, listen, the world is going to be what the world is. We need to have the faith and the growing faith to say, you know what, God? I'm just going to be righteous. You said you wanted your sacrifice this way. I'm going to do it this way. Now, in the world's eyes, how'd that work out for Abel? Not so good. Got him killed. Come on now, bear with me here. But to God, it was excellent. And it was counted to him. It was God's testifying of his gifts that he was righteous. Enoch, he lived before God and he pleased God. You know how we can exercise our faith? We can please God with our life. Like Enoch did. He walked with God. He pleased God. He lived a holy life before the Lord. Noah, he just obeyed God. Isn't that amazing? He was moved with fear, prepared an ark. He'd never seen rain before. A flood? What's that? The fountains of the deep broke up. You want me to build a boat? An ark? What's a boat? I'm sure they had boats, right? But one this big? And you want me to gather all the animals? Every kind? And only 8 human beings? That's amazing. Abraham was told, hey, I want you to go way over here to this foreign country and live. Leave your whole family and everything. He just obeyed. You understand, folks, that God wants us to exercise our faith. And the more we just believe God, the more we just obey, and the more we just rejoice in what God has done for us and what God is doing with us. And the more we just look to the scriptures and say, I want to mold myself to Jesus Christ. I want to become like Him. I want to conform to the image of Jesus. Day by day, we are exercising our faith. And when the world pushes back, we just say, no, it's not that way. It's God's way. And when they say, well, you should do this instead, you'll get more benefit from it. You say, no, I'm going to follow God's principles. And you know what? You know when faith is even exercised the most? Just like in weightlifting, when we tear those muscles down, it hurts. Okay? How many of you have ever been in that place where that lactic acid starts storing up, right? And how do you feel the next day? Right? Yeah. But what's that process all about? Growing. Developing. Maturing. Who said it was easy? Who said it wasn't going to be painful? Who said it wasn't going to be maybe not the most desirable occurrence? No one. Actually, God on the other side of it, or contrary-wise, tells us it is going to be difficult. It is going to be hard to grow your faith and mature your faith. And it's going to cost you something. It may be a little bit of painful. It may be a little bit difficult. Because guess what? If it's not hard, it's not worth it. Right? I mean, if you go out, okay, you say, okay, I'm gonna grow my muscles. Yeah, I can feel it. Feel the burn. Yes. Okay, you all should be like hysterically laughing at me because that's insane. No pain, no gain, my friend. Is this going to cut it? No, it's not. A hymn book's not going to cut it. I need to be picking up something a little better, you know? I mean, you're like, I want to see that. I don't know if this thing is bolted down or not. But it's going to take some effort, some diligence, some difficulty. In Luke chapter 17, verses 5 and 6, the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Think about this. Did they know what they were asking? That's in Luke 17, toward the end of Christ's ministry. Did they get a chance to increase their faith? Was it what they thought it was going to be? No. See, you all know what I'm going with this. What did they have to endure? Some pretty severe afflictions and persecutions and difficulties and death. That's right. To get that increased faith. Maybe they should have just said, Lord, thank you for the faith that you've given to us. Jesus told them, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say to the sycamine tree, if thou be thou plucked up by the root, and thou be planted in the sea, and it should obey you. He was testing their faith. And constantly through his ministry, he was telling them, what's going on? You're going through some persecutions. You're going through some difficulties. You're seeing the difficulties and persecutions that I'm going through. Why is your faith still so little? It should be growing. It should be increasing. And you know what? By the time I'm being crucified and you're there, you shouldn't be scattered everywhere. You shouldn't be running away. You should be standing right by my side because you know what's going to happen. I already told you about it all. That's why Paul said, hey, I'm not afraid to go through this storm. I'm not afraid to go through your Rockladon. We were talking about storms the other night. I'd be the dummy outside watching the hurricane or the tornado. Oh, look at all these lightning strikes. They're getting really close. As my hair is levitating off my head, you know. Like, wow, look at that one. you know, I mean, all at the same time. He said, hey, your faith should be growing. You should be able to say, hey, mustard seed. Hey, mountain, you can move. You know, all these things. They were with the Son of God. They lived with Him. They walked with Him. I mean, what more do you need? We only get to see it through the pages of this book. That's why He told Thomas. He said, Thomas, listen, I'm glad that you believe. But blessed are the people that have not even seen and believe. You've been able to take your hand and push it in the prints and in my side. That's not faith. That's experience. But what about faith? We need to grow our faith. In 2 Corinthians 10, Paul writes, but we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed unto us. A measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you. For we are come as far to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased. So what did Paul say? Hey, Corinthians, we're doing what we're supposed to be in the bounds with which we're supposed to be doing it. And where our hope is, our prayer is that your faith is increased. Our faith doesn't need to stay childlike baby faith. It needs to grow. As newborn babes in Christ, we're supposed to desire the sincere milk of the word that we can what? Grow thereby. What do you think that's talking about? It's not just talking about our lives as Christians. It's talking about our faith as well. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he says, therefore, as ye abound in everything. Well, that's pretty broad, right? Paul, I mean, you tell these Corinthians you want to grow. In 1 Corinthians, that's later on. Later in 2 Corinthians, he said that he wanted their faith to increase. Before that, he said this in chapter 8. He said, as ye abound in everything. That's like the kids, you know, they say, God bless everyone, you know, God save everyone. God bless all the missionaries. Okay, that's kids. They pray in blanket statements like that sometimes. But you know what? We need to be specific in things, right? So Paul says, hey, I want you to abound in everything. But then he lists them out and he says this, in faith. That's the first one on the list. He says, I want you to grow. I want you to abound. I want this to be increased in your life, your faith. And then he says, and utterance, and knowledge, and diligence, and in your love to us, he says, see that ye abound in this grace also. But the first one he mentions that he wanted the Corinthians to abound in was their faith. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul writes again and says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. This is too great for it to be some happenstance, some coincidence. That he says, hey, Lord, we want our faith to increase. Paul said to the Corinthians, I want your faith to increase. He said, I want you to abound in your faith, and I want you to grow in your faith. He says, we're excited, Thessalonians, that your faith groweth exceedingly. What about us? At Lighthouse Baptist Church, in 2023, could someone write a letter to our church and say, hey, I'm so glad to see that your faith groweth exceedingly. In Acts chapter 6, the Bible tells us they chose Stephen, a man full of faith. Now remember what the disciples said. They said that they were supposed to choose out men full of the Holy Ghost, right? Well, guess what? Stephen was full of faith and the Holy Ghost. Anybody want to take a wild stab in the dark and just kind of try to connect the dots between our faith growing and our filling of the Holy Spirit of God? Huh? What do you think? Did you know that as these men were being chosen, it only says of Stephen that he was a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost? And then it mentions the other men, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, and Parmenius, and Nicholas, and a proselyte of Antioch. It says, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Hey, that's wonderful. But it only mentions that Stephen was full of faith and Holy Ghost. Yeah, Brother Combs, that's just semantics. That's just how you're perceiving the interpretation of the scriptures there. Oh, really? Let me finish verse 8. And Stephen, comma, full of faith and power, comma, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Didn't say Philip. Didn't say Prochorus. Didn't say Nicanor. Didn't say Timon. Didn't say Parmenius. Didn't say Nicholas. Well, he said Stephen. Interesting. But what was he full of? Faith. So, if you can be full of faith, then you can be not full of faith. Now, these other men met the requirements that the apostles gave out. They were full of the Holy Ghost. But Stephen was full of faith and the Holy Ghost. And Stephen did great miracles. And Stephen got under the skin of the Pharisees to the point where they stoned him to death. I'm just saying we need to grow our faith. We need to mature our faith. And we can do it through the Word of God, through exercising our faith. Hey, how about this in Acts 16? And the churches were established in the faith. How do you become established in something? Practice it. Hey, last I checked, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Hey, we need to obey. We need to be righteous. We need to exercise. We need to read the Word of God. We need to be true to the Word of God. We need to test God, if you will. We need to say, hey, God, you said it. That settles it. I'm going to do it. And then do it. Live by it. Try God out. See if He won't be a rewarder. See if he will be indebted to you. See if His promises are true. Go ahead. You know what that is? Exercise. Exercising our faith in our lives. Let's just use a financial illustration. God says He's going to supply our daily needs, right? He's going to take care of us. God also commands that we give the tithe. And the tithe is to be the first fruits of our increase. You know, I've met lots of people that say, I can't afford to tithe. And my request or response back to them is, you can't afford not to tithe. So you want to know what tithing is? It's an exercise of faith. Being obedient to God's command and seeing if God will do what He says He's going to do. So you get $100. And you say, okay, God, my bills are $100 this month, and you gave me $100. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know what faith is? God, here's your $10. Now turn this 90 into 100. That's what faith is. And folks, listen. Are we willing to step out by faith? Or do we say, okay, I'm going to put this $10 in an envelope. And if I can get this $90 to make it through and get all the bills paid, then I'll give God his $10. But I'm going to keep it just in case. That's little faith, right? And some would even say that's no faith. But we need to increase our faith. Hey, how about this? God, I need that $100, but I'm going to give you $25. Let's see what you can do, God. You say, you are crazy. Yeah, isn't it grand? Why not? God can do anything but fail. We just sang it. Why don't you? You say, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to do a 600-pound deadlift is what I'm trying to do. He says, you can't do that. It's like the little boy, right? Standing there with the BB gun shooting at the moon. The old man comes up and says, son, what are you doing? I'm shooting at the moon, mister. Ha, you know you're never going to hit it. I'm getting closer than you are. Faith. Exercising faith. Romans 4 talks about God and Abraham. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Hey, folks, just look at Abraham's life. You say, Pastor, Abraham was not a very good example in many ways. Maybe he wasn't. But he was the friend of God. How many people were called the friend of God? Abraham. Hey, listen. It says that he was strong in faith. How many of you would get to the point where you would sacrifice your child and trust that God would either give a replacement or raise him up from the dead after you had sacrificed him? I think that's strong in faith. Romans 14, Paul admonishes In the Roman church, he says, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one that believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let him not eat that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let him not which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. In 1 Corinthians 16, he tells the Corinthians, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. You're supposed to be strong in the faith. We're supposed to stand fast in our faith. We're supposed to exercise our faith. We know that we're supposed to exercise ourselves into godliness. We're supposed to be nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. When you think of someone who lifts weights and things, you think of someone who eats well or eats certain types of foods to help their muscles to grow. Well, guess what we need to eat? If we're going to grow our faith, the Word of God. In 2 Peter, you know, we're told to add to our faith virtue. What does it say over there in Philippians? If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you, here's that word again, and abound. What did the apostles want the faith to do? To abound. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. In Acts 14, it tells us that we're supposed to continue in the faith. What did Paul say? I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. As far as we know, those were some of his last words that he recorded. He said, I kept the faith. I continued in the faith. God wants our faith to grow. In 1 Timothy, Paul told Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. In James chapter 1, we ought to count it joy when we fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of our faith worketh patience. I'm going to read this. We're out of time tonight, but I want to read it to you anyways. My brethren, count all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So that's good. And you're going to start to think that, well, this is about wisdom and asking for wisdom. Hold on, it's not about that. It's about your faith. He says this, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So after it says to ask God for wisdom, he doesn't talk about wisdom as the subject anymore. Now the subject is faith. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. So from that point forward, what are the rest of these verses talking about? Your faith. Not your wisdom, but your faith. So if your faith wavereth, it's like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And you ought not to be double-minded in your faith. You know what that means? Don't say you believe, and then don't live like you believe. Say you believe God. God, I believe your word is true. Well, then live like it. God, I believe you can supply all your needs. Then trust God to supply your needs. God, I believe your commands are righteous. Then do his commands. God, I believe your ways are perfect. Then walk in his ways. Don't be double-minded in your faith. Then one last verse. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist? Guess how he resists him. How many of you know the rest of this verse? Whom resist? Steadfast in the faith. Amazing. How do we resist the devil? With our faith. With our faith. Knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren, are in the world, but the God of all grace who hath called you unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Those same things were said about faith earlier in the scriptures we read. Now, you say, why are you taking extra time tonight? Because I don't want to preach on this again. No, I'm just kidding. Because I think we're supposed to be done with it, okay? I'll revisit it tomorrow, I promise. But listen to this. As Satan was attacking Job, what was he relying upon the whole time? His faith in God. Even when everything had been taken away from him. Hey, came into this world without anything. I'm leaving this world without anything. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What is that? Faith. Faith. I don't know what I'd do if I lost all of my children. Could I say that? I sure hope so. Listen, I'm not trying to downplay anybody's circumstances. You know what it takes? Great faith. You know how you get it? Grow it. Exercise it. Strengthen it. Live in it. Use it. Practice it. And it'll grow. That's the kind of faith we all need.